time of fellowship and enjoyed being with you, and trust that this time away from our routine helped us to be able to have more spiritual input that would encourage us to keep on going. Life sometimes we get sort of stuck in the down times, and we need some encouragement to get through those and get back over to the other side. So hopefully this has been an encouragement to all of us. Yesterday, when we talked about our Cinderella story, we talked about how, in contrast to Israel, the paradigm of the unfaithful wife, the bride of Christ is going to be a fulfillment of all of these Old Testament promises and pictures and the New Testament when the church, as the bride of Christ, Christ is going to be able to show his work in all of her glory as a bride. And so we looked at some of those parallels, and you were to try to discuss the symbolism of each of the items, such as the wedding dress, the ring, the unity candle, the veil. And I trust that you are able to go through that and have no problems, because from our culture, I think you would have noticed the symbolism by now. Okay. But the second part, the parallels to our spiritual marriage to Christ. Let me just run through those real quick. The parallels to our spiritual marriage, the betrothal period, the period before the bride is presented, called the betrothal period, would be the period that we are in now, where Christ is preparing his church. And that's in Revelation 19, 7 through 8. The bride made herself ready, and Ephesians 5, 28 through 29, Christ loves, nourishes, and cherishes the church. The parallel to the dress being white, being pure, and that's in Revelation 19, 8. The bride is going to be clothed in righteousness. Both the righteous acts of the saints, it says in Revelation 19, 8, and Ephesians 5, 27. Another parallel verse to that would be Psalm 45, which is a picture of the king's marriage and talks about how beautifully the bride is adorned, and those parallel to all of the beauty of anything that we have done to glorify the Lord Jesus is what's in that picture of that beautiful gown. The giving of the bride in marriage, you know, in our marriage ceremonies, where the father usually or someone important in the family gives the bride away. Well, in contrast, who is going to present the bride? It's Christ himself. The bridegroom is going to present the bride. And that's going to be in Ephesians 5, 25 through 27, where he says that passage that talks about husbands and wives and how Christ is our husband and will be presenting his bride. The feast accompanying the ceremony, Revelation 19, 9, the marriage feast of the Lamb. The giving of gifts, we know that we have showers before the marriage, we give gifts after the marriage, and the parallel that we have spiritually is that we, as the bride, are going to receive an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So 2 Corinthians 8, 9 says, you through his poverty might become rich. Ephesians 1, 14 and 18, and 1 Peter 1, 4, all verses about inheritance. So just real quickly, I just wanted to make sure that you got those points. And the last question was, what's the spiritual symbolism for these Jewish customs? In other words, customs that we don't have in our Christian weddings, but that they have in their Jewish weddings, the custom that the groom, at least in the New Testament period, could could come and get his betrothed at any time, unannounced, and she was to be ready to be taken. And so the obvious parallel is that our bridegroom, the Lord Jesus, can come at any time and rapture the church away. The verse is 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 17. And then the fact that the groom pays a bride price, which we don't have in our culture, but in the New Testament times, the bride price. So Christ paid the price for his bride, 1 Corinthians 6, 20, and our memory verse, 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. So it would be a good time to say that together. So 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, let's try it. Okay, here we go. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. Knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Hallelujah. Yay. Now, so today we're going to move on, and we're going to talk about blessings. So I need somebody to hand out the handout for today. So we've talked, in just quick review, we've talked about that Ruth is a type of Israel making a covenant with the Lord God, and that relationship, a covenant relationship. Ruth is also a paradigm for us of our redemption, and also a paradigm of the church, the New Testament church, being grafted into the Old Testament system of Judaism. And that's a whole separate topic that we're not going to talk about. We've been focusing on the paradigm of our redemption. And we said that the umbrella over all of this in this book of Ruth is loving kindness. Many, many acts of loving kindness, many words of loving kindness. And the foundation through all this that we see is that God blesses us. He is a blessing to us, and he blesses us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time that we've been able to come aside and look at your word and open our hearts to hear all of the truths that you want to speak to us. And we realize that it can be different for each one of us, that we all have different places that we're at in our lives, and yet you want to speak to everyone individually. We ask that your Holy Spirit would do that this day, that we might be able to understand more of yourself, and that we also might be able to learn so that we might be a blessing to others and a blessing to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. So, blessings galore is what I've entitled this session. Truly, we are surrounded by blessings. If we just stop to think about every single thing that's around us and how we're made, how God made this whole world to be filled with evidences of himself, and they're all blessings. And we can say that our lives have been filled with very many pleasures, blessings. Genesis 1, the very first chapter in the Bible, uses the word bless and blessing. On the fifth and sixth day of the first week, God not only created fish and birds and beasts and men, but he blessed them. So he not only spoke them into existence, but he used his words to bless them, it says. The word bless means to bestow a benefit on. To bestow a benefit on. And although the fall caused mankind to have a harder life, a rough life, God allowed his goodness to continue despite that, and his goodness shines through each day. The whole of creation, how it fits together, how we're fearfully and wonderfully made, how he allows us to survive and to propagate, is all a blessing. so many pleasant sounds and feelings, our senses that are able to pick up on these things. And as we walk through and we just notice a little wildflower and we take pleasure in that, enjoyment in that, and we realize that's a blessing. So many things. In the book of Ruth, we see the contrast between famine, death, and sorrow. And then at the end of the book, all of the blessings that Ruth receives because she has made those wise choices and made those lasting covenants. And it's the same in our life. Maybe we wouldn't enjoy our blessings quite so well if we didn't have those sorrows that come day to day. Remember how Ruth is leaving the country of Moab and coming to Israel, and Naomi and Ruth are going to Bethlehem, the house of bread. So that implies a house of fullness, a house of blessing. They're coming at the beginning of the barley harvest, another time of blessing. And the Jewish people celebrate that as a blessing, God's provision. But Ruth is in need of a blessing when she comes. Remember, she's a widow, she's poor, she's a foreigner. So many things. She is coming from a cursed nation, Moab. And now she is in need of a blessing. Here's a poem called Two Boxes. I have in my hand two boxes which God gave me to hold. He said, put all your sorrows in the black box and all your joys in the gold. I heeded his words, and in the two boxes both my joys and sorrows I stored. And though the gold became heavier each day, the black was as light as before. With curiosity, I opened the black. I wanted to find out why, and I saw in the base of a box a hole, which my sorrows had fallen out by. I showed the hole to God and mused, I wonder where my sorrows could be. He smiled a gentle smile and said, my child, they're all here with me. I asked God why he gave me the boxes, why the gold and the black with the hole. My child, the gold is for you to count your blessings. The black is for you to let go. So we have suffering and sorrow in our life. And it contrasts, it gives us that background. Remember that background of pain. There's a reason for it. It highlights for us our blessings. And it reminds us of the state that we're in without Christ, without God. So we can appreciate, no matter what pain or problem for the Christian, we can say it's not permanent. We know that God is in control. Think of Ecclesiastes 3:11. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart. So we praise him that he is giving us everything in the, at the appropriate time. There shall no longer be any curse, it says in Revelation 22:3. In Revelation 21:1 and 4, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. We are going to enjoy for eternity the fact that God wipes away all of our sorrows and our tears. So, let's look at Ruth's blessings, because there's going to be a parallel between Ruth's blessings and our blessings that we have, because she made the right choices. So, number one on your sheet, Ruth's blessings. Now, these are just ones that I picked out, and I'm sure you could pick out some more. One is loving that she had a loving family member who cared about her future. And that would have been Naomi, okay? So a loving family member. Number two, she had a godly culture that she came to. This godly culture cared for widows and orphans and foreigners. God had set these rules in place that if a foreigner came into the land, they were to be provided for. And for her, it meant that she was able to glean barley. And that, again, is that code of loving kindness. So number two is a godly culture. Number three is a heritage. Her covenant of marriage led to the right to a family and a future. Numbers 27 and 36, Numbers chapter 27 and 36, give these laws if you want to look them up on your own. But the inheritance of a family, their land had to stay in that family. That it had to stay in that family and in the tribe of that family, because there were tribal boundaries and those were always to be kept. And so the land could go to the daughters for a certain amount of time. We find that in the Old Testament with one example. But it had to eventually be bought back by the men in the family. And it meant that the daughters always had to marry into that tribe to be able to keep the tribal boundaries preserved, and that there would be a perpetual inheritance that would own that piece of land according to that tribe. Well, Ruth comes into that system as a foreigner, but she ends up receiving an inheritance. She has a heritage. Number four is she has a redeemer. Now, it's not a word that we use often in English, because we tend to use it more for like redeeming coupons, you know, where you're handing a coupon and getting money back. Well, that's not the sense of this redeemer. As we were talking about yesterday, that the redeemer kinsman had to be a fellow countryman from the same tribe who was willing to buy back this land that evidently Elimelech had sold for short term to another relative. But it had to be bought back, and it had to be bought back by a person who was in that family, who was in Elimelech's family, so that the land could go back to the original owner. Now, in Jewish circles, they call it a lever, L-E-V-I-R, and this process was a leverite process. But most commentators agree that Boaz was not a lever, an L-E-V-I-R. He was a redeemer. In other words, he went beyond his responsibility. And that he actually had a choice whether to take Ruth or not. That he could have said, I, as a redeemer, am going to buy back the land, as his relative said, but I'm not going to take Ruth. That he also had that choice. But that he chose because he saw in Ruth her virtue. He saw the example and he saw what she had done for Naomi. And he chose to take her as his bride. So, you know, we could debate that, but at least we can say that for sure he was full of loving kindness as he took her, Ruth, as his bride, and so he became her redeemer. Number five is a godly marriage. A godly marriage based on respect for one another, founded on love for the one true God. And number six is offspring. Eventually, she had a son, Obed, and then Obed had the son, David. And that's found at the end of Ruth chapter 4. So these are just some of her blessings that we can pick out. Now let's look at the spiritual parallels that would go with these blessings that Ruth received. Because we say that Ruth is a type for us. We as Gentile Christians, as she was a foreigner, able to convert to Judaism and receive all the blessings that a Jew would have received, we as Gentile Christians are coming into the church. And now we receive these same blessings. She is a type of us. And so look at each one of these. So number one was a loving family member. Now, I would parallel that to whoever brought you to the Lord. Whoever you heard from their mouth, the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he is your Savior and brought you to Christ. So whoever shared with you, that would be the spiritual parallel for that loving family member. And you could take that, you know, just take this as far as you want to. You know, that person was like a Naomi to you. That person was had your benefit in mind, loved you, cared for you enough. You know, you can meditate on that. Number two, a godly culture. I would say the parallel to that for us in America is that we do have the freedom to be able to share the gospel openly, that we do have a culture that even though there's not the same amount of respect as there used to be, we still have the freedom to both hear and share the gospel. Number three, a heritage. And for us, I believe that we can say that our Christian heritage is one of eternal life, of enjoyment with our Savior as the bride of Christ, when we will spend eternal bliss with him, that's our inheritance. And number four, a redeemer, and the obvious parallel that we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our redeemer, the one who paid the price to buy us back to himself. We are his creation. He owned us by right because he was our creator. And yet we were far off from him in sin, and he redeemed us to himself by paying the price, the only price, which was his precious and pure blood. Number five, the godly marriage that corresponds to the marriage that we have by being the bride of Christ. And number six, offspring. So we really can't have a spiritual offspring in the sense that we can offer salvation coming from us, but we certainly have the ability to say, come to the bridegroom. And we have the ability to have spiritual children, as Paul called some of the people that he led to the Lord. He called them his spiritual children. So that we can have spiritual children in the sense that we have an input into their life and help them to see their need of salvation, give them the gospel, show them how they can become saved. In that sense, we could have spiritual offspring or have a part in bringing them to the Lord. So those are just some of Ruth's blessings and the spiritual parallels that I could see through each of those. You know, and with each of these, we can say, what a blessing. What a blessing. Women love to share recipes. They help us to be able to duplicate the same thing that our friend did, and we liked it, we tasted it, and it tasted good, and we want to do the same thing. So you get the recipe. We look at the blessings that Ruth received, and we would want to duplicate those blessings as well. One of the things that she received, and that's really throughout this whole book, are verbal blessings. In fact, she's not the only one. So our first little session here, we could talk about how Ruth received blessings in her life. But, you know, besides the state and the all of the things that happened to her that were blessings, we also see, starting way back in Genesis, that people are called blessings. And in Genesis 12, when God blesses Abraham, he not only says, I will bless you, but he says, you will be a blessing. And so not only did I want to look at how all of these blessings that Ruth had and the comparable things that we have that are very similar, parallel to her blessings, but now I want us to think about how can we be a blessing? Okay, well, one of the ways that we can be a blessing is to give verbal blessings. And we don't think about it too much, except somebody might say, let's bless the food, or give a blessing before food. And I don't know that we really think too much about it, like, how am I blessing the food? What am I doing this? You know, am I making the food happy? No. So verbal blessings, it'd be good for us just to spend a little time today to think about this. Remember that this is a book of exceptional loving kindness, kindness that went beyond what the law required. And again, in the area of spoken kindness, we find blessings. It seems that blessings are like fertilizer. They work best if you spread them around. So let's look at the book of Ruth and look at Ruth chapter 2 and verse 12. This is a blessing. Ruth chapter 2, verse 12. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord. Okay, so this is Boaz, and he's talking to Ruth as she is coming in and working, trying to get the barley up. Okay, now let's look at another blessing. This one is Naomi to Boaz, chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. Chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. Her mother-in-law then said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed of the Lord, who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead." And again, Naomi said to her, "The man is our relative. He's one of our closest relatives." So here is where Naomi is actually blessing Boaz. This is Naomi's blessing to Boaz. May he be blessed of the Lord, who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead. And then up in verse 9, may he who took notice of you be blessed. So this is Naomi who's blessing Boaz. Okay, now chapter 3, verse 10, we have another blessing. Chapter 3, verse 10. Then he said, "May you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness to be better than the first by not going after young men, whether poor or rich. May you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter." And so this is Boaz talking to Ruth after she comes to lie at his feet. And then in chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, we have another blessing. Chapter 4 and verse 11 and 12. And all the people who were in the court and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, both of whom built the house of Israel, and may you achieve wealth in Ephrathah and become famous in Bethlehem. Moreover, may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, through the offspring which the Lord shall give you by this young woman." So here, the elders of the town of Bethlehem are blessing Boaz and blessing the union of Boaz and Ruth. So another verbal blessing. And then the last one is in chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. Chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today, and may his name become famous in Israel. May he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age, for your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." So here it's the women in Bethlehem who are talking to Naomi and giving her a blessing. So of these blessings, We had one from Boaz to Ruth. We had one from Naomi to Boaz. We had one from the people or the elders to Boaz. And then we had another one from the women to Naomi. So you can see what I mean. Blessings were going to and fro from all these different people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. That's right. The employees, yeah, let's read that one. Now, behold, this is chapter 2, verse 4. Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "May the Lord be with you." And they said to him, "May the Lord bless you." So, blessings. That's the characteristics of these blessings. They were ways of showing appreciation and encouragement. We can see that they were done by groups or by individuals, that they could be done to someone whether they were present or absent, that they incorporated a wish for future happiness. In other words, they were the opposite of cursing. They used a formula. Most of the time they start with may the Lord do this, or may you this, or may he this, may she this. They usually start like a recipe, okay? So they followed a certain form so that people would recognize that this was a blessing. And the people who do the blessing are often somehow influential in the fulfillment of that blessing that they would bestow on another person in the name of God. Now, the Jewish tradition of blessing, we can look at a few of these. Let me have... somebody look up for me 1 Samuel 25:6 to see the greeting that was used oftentimes as a blessing back in the Old Testament days. And someone else look up Psalm 122:6-7. And then I need a third person look up Matthew 10:12-13. To talk about Jewish blessings. So 1 Samuel 25:6. Can somebody read that for us? Mm-hmm. Peace. Peace to you. A greeting to Nabal in the Old Testament. Have a long life is the greeting that many Jewish people use. You may remember if you saw the Fiddler on the Roof, and he talks about l'chaim, which means to life, which is the blessing that the Jewish people give. It's the same type, even it means to life, but literally, but it means have a long life. Peace to you, shalom. So the greeting that a Jewish person in Hebrew says to you would be shalom. Our hello doesn't really imply much blessing, does it? Hello, how are you? But their greeting, shalom, is a blessing. Peace to you. So Psalm 122:6-7, anybody have that one? Okay, Judy.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your... citadels.
Citadels. May there be security in your citadels. May there be peace in your walls. And so this is a blessing on anyone who blesses Jerusalem, Zion, Israel. May they prosper who love you, it says. A blessing on those people. And then Matthew 10:12-13.
And when you go into a house, greet it.
Okay. Let your peace be upon it. So we might not pick up on that in English. But that means let your blessing of shalom, let your blessing be upon it. You come into that house and you walk into that house and you say, may this house have shalom. May this house have peace. And this is Jesus giving directions to the disciples as they go out. So you can see that this idea of a verbal blessing is all the way through our scriptures, although it's not something that we tend to do very much of. We do in our own little way, don't we? So let's think about it. In our culture, if we're trying to show this chesed, loving kindness, then we want our words to be a blessing. We want our words to be encouraging. And we want to, in our words, express our desire for a future, for a beautiful future for the ones, for our brothers and sisters here, for the ones that we're concerned about, the ones that we have day-to-day contact with. How can we be a blessing? How can we give them verbal blessings? Think on that. I know that a lot of us send cards, and many of those cards have blessings on them. If you think about it, the way they're written, it's, may you have a wonderful day today, may you be blessed this day because this is your special day, that sort of type thing. So that's one way we try to send blessings, written blessings, is in our cards or letters. I know that there's a tradition in our family that Jonathan's father started, that for every occasion, they always buy a card, and Jonathan's mom is the one who is responsible for buying the card. Jonathan's dad is the one who's responsible for writing a blessing on it. And so he will say, this has been a blessed year because of this, this, and this. May you continue to do this. May you be blessed in this way. May your children do this. May your future be blessed in this way. And so that's a wonderful way that is easy in our culture. Just remember, write down a little blessing on your birthday card or your anniversary card that you send. Every time that you say, have a good day or have a blessed day, all those verbal things are good. And I see people who write out blessings and put them up as posters on their walls or plaques on their walls. That's another way that they often have blessings around. May this house be blessed. May this home be blessed. That sort of type of thing. Our kids went to Rift Valley Academy for their high school years. And the kids at RVA are like a family to themselves. You'll find the missionary kids are very close. Because they have similar backgrounds, but they also have similar problems adjusting to being from two different cultures. At any rate, every 3 months when it was time for the kids to separate and go back to their places where their parents were ministering, they started this little tradition, and they would write little notes to each other that they would fold up and hand to each other as they were leaving, and they weren't to read them until they got on their plane or got on their car or whatever, until they were on the way. And then they would open up that little note from their friend. And it was, special. And it was a blessing because they knew, their friend would be thinking of them while they were away. And I think about how we can just, be creative. Think about ways that you can bless people verbally or in the written way to be able to help and encourage them. Because it's a blessing just knowing that someone is caring, that someone is thinking about you, and that someone is wanting you to be encouraged and have a good future. Use phrases like, I'm so happy that, dot, dot, dot. Praise the Lord that, dot, dot, dot. I'm hoping that, dot, dot, dot. My wish for you, my prayer for you is, dot, dot, dot. And all those things are a blessing. Those are verbal blessings. So I know that when I can remember specifically, I walked into a Christian bookstore in Raleigh when we were home on furlough, and I had heard Anne Graham Lotz, this is Billy Graham's daughter, at a conference before, and so I recognized her in the bookstore. And so I walked up to her and I said, my husband and I are home on furlough, but we were at a conference that you spoke at one point in time. And I remember that she said, may the Lord fill your cup during this time that you're home from your service so that you will be spiritually full when you go back to your place of service. And, you know, that was a verbal blessing, and it really did, it touched me, and it made me feel like, oh, wow, instead of saying, you know, jumping into, how's the work going there, you know, my ministry here is going like this, and stuff like that, she just took that time to just give a verbal blessing, and it meant a lot to me. And I think that you'll find for you, it'll be the same, that if you'll just take that time to bless one another with your words and with your writing, that you'll have that time of encouragement for one another and help us to also be united in the way that we'll be able to bless others who may be unsaved, but they need that ultimate blessing of knowing the Lord in their lives. So as we break up in our groups today, we're going to discuss these first three questions in your group. Those three questions: have you ever been an influence that helped a person ultimately choose to become a Christian? If so, what were the circumstances? What are some practical things we can do to help win others to the Lord? And are there some characteristics that you have noticed of people who tend to be soul winners? This is trying to think of, have you ever been a Naomi to someone? Or have you ever recognized someone who was a Naomi? And what made that person stand out, so that we might be able to glean some thoughts of how in our own lives we might be more like Naomi and bringing some more Ruths in. Then I have some personal thought questions that I want you to do on your own. And really, you know, write these out so that they can be some goals that you would have for yourself, how you plan to be an influence. And then the last thing you're going to do after you finish up in your little group discussing those three questions is you're going to break up into just groups of two, okay? So you're going to start off in your group of five and discuss your first three questions. Skip over the personal thought questions. Then you're going to practice a blessing. I want you to be in groups of two, talk to that person about some concerns that they may have, or a thought that you have been blessed by here during this conference, something that you feel like God has been speaking to you about, so that that person might be able to write out a little note for you that you're going to do just like those kids at RVA do. You're going to take that note, but don't read it, okay? You're going to wait till you get home, and then you're going to read it, okay? And that's going to be your little verbal blessing to take home with you today that we hope will be some encouragement for you. So I'm going to close my time with you, and then we're going to divide up in our groups, okay? Any questions about our little exercise? We got it. Okay, let's pray. Father, I thank you once again just for this time that we've had together to look in the book of Ruth, to realize how blessed we are, to realize our true state, that we were cursed and far off, and yet you brought us in, and through our kinsman redeemer, you were able to buy us back, and that now we have a wonderful inheritance, and that you have blessed us with abundant blessings, and that you want us to be a blessing and to bless others, even verbally. So I pray that you would help us, even as we continue through the rest of today, that we might be blessing one another, that we might be encouraging one another, especially as we break up and go our separate ways and go back to the tasks that you've given us to do. And one of those tasks being soul winners, we pray that you would help us to be able to reach out, to be the Naomi to someone that we know who needs Christ as Savior. I ask all this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.